chapter 6. John chapter 6. I actually have my paper Bible. We have a mobile app that's available on your phone, but I have my paper Bible, my Bible in my hand, because I just want to make sure that I don't get distracted or anything else. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. We're going to read several verses, but the verses are long, the passage is long, but the message is not. We want to start with verse 25. When you find it, say amen. Say amen.
Amen.
All right, that's not everyone. So look on with your neighbor if you need to look on. Let's make sure we are reading God's word. John chapter 6, beginning with verse 25. It says, "And when they," the people who were looking, they were looking for Jesus, "found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, 'Rabbi, when did you come here?' Jesus answered them and said, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor," listen to this closely, "do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." Therefore they said to him, "What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." In verse 35, "And Jesus said to them, 'I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst.'" This morning I want to ask a question. In fact, I want you to help me to preach this thing and turn to your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, what's so special about this bread?" Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. I welcome your amens, of course. I know we are getting adjusted, but I welcome your amens as we look at what's so special about this bread. If anyone in here ever took a look inside the pantry or the refrigerator at the Cobb's house, it would be easy to tell that we are striving to reach a certain goal. One can find low-fat, no-sodium, sugar-free, taste-free types of all types of food found in the pantry. You might find some quinoa, which 3 years ago that word wasn't even in my vocabulary. You might find some brown rice or some different things that are on the shelves. But of all the healthy items that you might find, one product in particular stands out more than others. You may walk into my house and you'll see on the shelf, you'll see sitting there on the counter, you may find yourself fascinated by this one product that's sitting there. And it's this product. It is a loaf of crustless bread. Crustless bread. Crustless bread. Yeah. It's a loaf of crustless bread. And y'all help me so I don't get in trouble. Amen. But because she didn't know that I bought this bread this morning, but we're going to work this thing. Amen. All the healthy items you see this loaf of bare bread. It's called crustless wheat bread. And one night, my wife sat us down for dinner. We were sitting down to eat dinner, and she sat a plate in front of me. And on that plate, there was a sandwich and some side items. And the sandwich was made up of some things inside. It looked great, wonderful, but the bread was crustless bread. And I have to admit something. I sat there like a 7-year-old. I was transferred back to my childhood and my mama's kitchen, and I was mad. I got an attitude. I sat there and pushed the plate away a little bit and said, I ain't eating that bread because it ain't got no crust. And my brothers and sisters, before a fight broke out in the Cobb's household, I had to ask a question. I asked my wife, what's so special about this bread that you had to go to the store to buy some crustless bread? And my wife, went in the only the way that she could do, answered the question in just such a simple statement. She said, this bread is better for you. And being stubborn, I decided to look into this bread a little deeper. I decided to find out for myself. I needed to know what I was up against. If I was going to eat this nasty bread, I wanted to know exactly what it was about this bread that made it so special that my wife brought it into my house. And so I grabbed the loaf. I looked at the loaf and I read what was on the package. And on the package, it said several things about this bread. And this is what I want to use today. I bought this little bread and risked my life bringing some bread out of my household to teach us today and use the passage of scripture that we see in John chapter 6 to teach us something about some bread. Because you see, my brothers and sisters, in the text, the people were looking for Jesus because they wanted some bread. But the issue is that they were looking for the wrong type of bread. They were not satisfied with the bread that Jesus wanted to give to them, wanted to offer to them. They got an attitude like I did sitting at that table, and the table that Jesus had spread out wasn't satisfactory. And they said, we want some other kind of bread. And so Jesus began to teach them what was so special about the bread that he brings. And this is something that we all need to recognize. We need to understand that Jesus said, I am the bread of life. What does that mean? How does this little loaf of bread help us to understand what Jesus is talking about in the text? Well, I'm glad you asked. See, when I looked at this package, it's wrapped up nice. It looks great. That's wonderful. The package says a few things about this bread. It tells us a few things. The first thing it tells us is that this bread has no preservatives. Everybody say preservatives. Y'all want to know what that is? Preservatives are what they put, what man puts inside of a product in order to extend the life of a product beyond that which it's supposed to live. Okay, watch this. They inject chemicals into the product to make sure that it lasts longer. And the problem with that is that it is not natural. It is not what is made up from this particular product. This bread is supposed to expire after a while. That because of the preservatives that are put into certain products, sometimes something that is supposed to die ends up lasting longer than it's supposed to. Okay, y'all gonna catch this thing in a minute. Because man will inject and insert into certain products chemicals that make it last longer than it's supposed to, but God has designed it so that that thing only has a certain shelf life and it's supposed to eventually die and go away. That's why some of us sitting here are struggling in certain areas that we struggle in, because we have injected preservatives into things that should have died a long time ago. We are keeping alive things in our lives that should have been dead a long time ago. That's why you keep getting called by that brother, because you keep on injecting things into that relationship that should have died a long time ago. That's why she's always on your mind, because you keep on injecting things into that relationship that should have died a long time ago. That's why you catching hell on your job, because God released you a long time ago, but you keep on saying, I got to get this check, and you injected something that's making it last longer than it was supposed to. And so there are artificial preservatives that are placed in all the food that we eat. Most of the food that we eat, they put stuff into our food. Anybody seen the ice cream cone that's been circulating on Facebook and on the internet? Walmart, listen, there's a Walmart ice cream cone. A mom discovered that this Walmart ice cream cone, her child had left it sitting outside, and it was 90 degrees outside. She went back an hour later, saw that the ice cream cone was still sitting on the sidewalk, but it did not melt. The reason it did not melt is because there was some preservatives that were injected into this ice cream cone that caused it not to melt. And somebody is eating that stuff. And here it is. That Jesus is teaching the people that come to him. They come to him and say, Jesus, we want you to give us some bread. Now understand, the reason that they are asking for some bread is because in the previous chapter, Jesus had just fed the 5,000. He had taken five loaves and two fish and fed 5,000, maybe even 7,000 people. He fed them with that bread. Now they're coming to him looking for more bread. And Jesus has to set them straight that you are coming and looking for the wrong thing. Come here and let me tell you something. Sometimes some of us seek after Jesus for only what he can give to us. And Jesus says, that's not what I came for. That's not why I'm here. That's not the type of bread that you need. You are trying to prolong something that should be dead and gone in your life. You are trying to keep something going that should have been covered a long time ago. Why do you think some people ask the same questions every year? They're asking the same questions about their Christian life because we are not looking at God as the true bread of life. And here it is. He says, he tells them in verse 28. This is what he says to them. He lets them know in verse 28 or verse 27. He says, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life. You know what some of us do? Sometimes what we do is we are looking for something to keep us going. Here's what they were making reference to. They were saying, Jesus, you fed the 5,000 with this fish and these loaves of bread. And then they began to remember how back in the day their ancestors were fed by Moses when they were in the wilderness. Moses asked God to feed them, and God sent manna from heaven, sent bread from heaven. And so that's really what's on their mind. And so Jesus is helping them to understand something, that he did not come to give you a quick fix. He did not come to give you something, to give you injections that'll get you through day by day. Now listen, we're to call on the Lord and ask him for help. But the primary purpose that Jesus Christ came is to give you life and life eternal. But some of us are treating the Lord as if he is a waiter in a restaurant. Every time he comes to the table, listen, I want something else. Would you refill my water? Would you do this? Would you do that? That's not why he came. The Lord came so that he could give us life. And so the scripture is telling us, is teaching us something, that these people come to him saying, Lord, give me more fish. Give me more bread. Give me more. Lord, I want you to do some tricks for me. And the truth be told, some of us came in here looking for Jesus to give us some, just do some tricks. We came in here looking for Jesus to do some tricks. And we got it bad. If Jesus don't do certain tricks, we don't like it. We don't even feel like we had church unless we shout at least 5 minutes during the service. We don't feel like we had church unless something has happened, because we're looking for preservatives, artificial preservatives, to keep us alive, to keep us going. And we're dependent upon the wrong things to keep us going. And Jesus tells them, that's not what you need. You don't need more bread, more physical bread. That's not what you need. What you need is the bread of life. And the reason your life has not shifted, the reason your life has not changed, has not turned around, is because you are looking for crumbs, physical stuff to satisfy you, and that's not what God came for. He didn't come just so that you can have some stuff. He came so that you can have life. And so these people were approaching him saying, Lord, listen, we just want something. So when man injects preservatives into products, it makes it last longer than it's supposed to last. I stopped by on my way to heaven to tell somebody that there's some things in your life that ought to die. There's some stuff that ought to die. Stop injecting them with artificial preservatives. Stop letting him call you. Stop answering her email. Stop texting him. So listen, there's some stuff that needs to die. There's some stuff that needs to come out of your life. You can tell those people that are pressuring you. No, you need to maybe switch up your circle of friends. Some things in your life you need to let die. But instead, we are looking to inject it with artificial preservatives to keep it alive. And we dare sometimes ask Jesus to be that preservative. Lord, I know I ain't supposed to be with him, but Lord, I know I'm not supposed to do this, but looking for Jesus to preserve something that he wants to die. And I know some of us, I know that's not a popular message, sir. No, Jesus is about life. No. Some things have to die. We have to die to self in order for us to truly be disciples of the Lord. And the problem is some of us do not want that to happen. We're trying to keep the old man alive. We're trying to keep the old man going. We're trying to keep our old sinful selves going while still trying to play the fence. And still trying to be in church. And still trying to claim to be Christian. And still trying to claim that we love the Lord. But it don't work like that. Unless you're injecting some artificial preservatives. The second thing that I saw on this bag, it says it doesn't have any artificial preservatives, but it also says it doesn't have any artificial colors or flavors. No artificial colors or flavors. I really begin to look at it. I'm like, that's what it is. It don't look like normal wheat bread. It's too bright. It don't look like normal wheat bread. My wheat bread a little darker than that, you know. And it just doesn't look right. It don't look the same. It don't look because it doesn't have artificial colors or flavors. The people came to Jesus in this particular text. And you know what they said to him when he said, he said, you don't need that food. You don't need to work for bread, for temporary stuff. That's not the most significant thing that you need to be seeking after. The most significant thing you need to seek after are things that are eternal. And then the next thing that they say, they say, okay, Lord, well, how do we do that? Let's give us some things that we can do, some works that we can do. Show us how we can impress you so that people can know that we love you. That's what they say. And they begin to ask him, how can we do works? What can we do? And here's what's going on. They are adding to what Jesus just said. And when the manufacturer decides, we're going to make some bread. They make the bread. You know why they add artificial colors and flavors? Because if they just put it out just the way that it came out the oven, most of us wouldn't eat it. Most of us wouldn't eat it. Because they understand that for the masses to accept it, they got to add some stuff to it. And that is how the Christian journey can be sometimes for some of us. The truth be told, instead of us just accepting it the way that it is, we got to add stuff to it. Jesus says, listen, you don't need to do a bunch of stuff. All you need to do is believe. Everybody say believe. He says all you have to do is believe in the one whom God sent. That's all you have to do. That's the simple recipe. All you got to do is just believe in the one that God sent. That's it. That's salvation. That's you having eternal life. That's you pleasing God. All you got to do is believe. So why is it that we add stuff to it? It's just that simple, but yet we add stuff to it. Brother Cree, you ever seen somebody? You ever seen somebody got a plate in front of them? The plate is sat in front of them on the table. And before they even pick up their fork and taste, they pick up the salt or the pepper, and they begin to pour. They have not even tasted the dish, and they begin to season it. Why is it that some of us are not satisfied with what God has provided for us, and we got to add some stuff to it? When the truth be told, we ain't even tried what he told us to try first. He simply said, believe in the one whom God sent. And when you begin to believe in the one that God sent, that right there is enough. That's a full meal right there. Because when you really begin to chew on the fact that God sent his son to die for us while we were yet sinners, that he died for us, that he came and he was placed upon a cross, and that he was placed in a borrowed tomb, but he died and he rose again on the third day. When you begin to think about that, isn't that enough to chew on without us trying to add some other stuff to it? But the truth be told, we can't settle on that, because if a preacher got up every Sunday and that's all he said, that's not good enough. So guess what we have to do? We got to add some flavor, because the masses are not satisfied with the original recipe. That bread ain't good enough. It don't taste good enough. Season it up, Pastor. You got to give me something. Y'all know in certain communities, I mean, if a pastor don't put a little hot sauce, a little sauce on it, hey, I didn't like that. But if he told you the gospel truth, then you got everything that you need. But we need more. I want more, Lord. I need something. I need to feel a certain way. I need to feel charged up. I need the music to be popping. I need this. I need this. I need that. I need. But all Jesus said, well, all you need to do is believe. That's all you need to do. All that other stuff is not necessary to your spiritual growth. You need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But when those artificial flavors are added to it, we add stuff. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but you also have to do this, you also have to do that, you also have to do these things, you also have to look this way, dress this way, talk this way, act this way, you have to do all these things. But Jesus said all you got to do is believe. Just believe. Chew on that. That the most simple thing is the most difficult thing for us to do. Just believe. Because if you truly believe, then you recognize that Jesus is strong enough to handle your situation. And it does not matter if you jump up and down, turn around 5 times, run through the hall. It does not matter if you do any of those things. If you don't believe in Jesus, then you're missing the whole point. What's so special about this bread that Jesus is talking about? Jesus is saying, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. And all that other stuff, that other bread that you're seeking, that stuff is not going to do you any good. Then last thing, my brothers and sisters, I noticed on here, the main thing really, I noticed on here is that it had no preservatives, no artificial flavors or colors. But then the last thing I noticed, or the main thing I noticed, had no crust. Josh, I was thrown by that thing. I'm like, listen, I need some crust on this. You know. Guess what I began to do? I began to think about when my mama used to set some sandwiches and stuff. She used to make me some sandwiches. I had some crust, y'all. Some grilled cheese and stuff like that. I had the crust. The crust was good to me. I liked having the crust on there. And so I began to look at the bread and say, you know what? I don't like it because it don't look the way that I'm used to. I don't like it because I'm not comfortable with the way that it appears to me. So I don't want that because it has no crust. And my wife, in her wisdom, responded to me about that crust. She said, you know what? The calories are in the crust. She said, that which is the worst part about the bread is in the crust. And of course, the Lord had to explain that thing to me, show me what that means, because the truth be told, it's not about us coming to church. It's not about us finding a church home, doing this. It's none of those things. Really, the problem is in the crust. Because the crust, I didn't want to eat the sandwich that my wife had in front of me because it did not have the parameters that I was used to. And some of us, the reason that we have not settled into a place that we're a place of worship, or some of us, the reason we are not serving the way that we want, because they do not have the parameters that truly we are looking for. But he helped me with that, because the crust is nothing more than a barrier. And there's too many crusty Christians. Don't look around. Don't call nobody crusty. That may mean something else, you know. There's too many crusty Christians. You know why? Because they cannot handle this type of thing. And here it is, because that piece of bread sitting there, it boggled my mind because it did not look like what I was used to. And we have got to be real about where our Christian journey is. Some of us, the reason we have not moved forward, the reason we are not being productive for God's kingdom, is because we have crust. The people in the text, this is what they said. They came to him and they said, "Jesus, we need you to do some miracles. We need you to do some tricks. We need you to do some stuff. Listen, because Moses," now watch what they were saying. "Moses back in the day fed people. We had about 2-3 million folks, and there was bread that came from heaven that fed all these folks. Now, we know that we just saw you feed 5,000, but Moses fed about 2-3 million. What's up, Jesus?" That's what they were saying to him. They were saying, "You're going to have to come with it, Jesus. You're going to have to show us more, Jesus." And so I guess it helps me as a preacher, because if they saying that to Jesus, and he had just fed 5,000, he had just walked on water, he had just appeared in a place that they didn't even know he was there, all of these things had just taken place, and they still said, "Jesus, you got to show me more." And Jesus told them, "First of all, you've got this thing twisted. Because you are looking for me to show you more, but you are not appreciating what has been given to you." They said, "Moses gave us bread." And he set them straight on that. He said, "First of all, Moses ain't the one that gave you bread. God gave you bread. God is the provider for you. God is the one that gives something to you." And then he said, "All you have to do is believe." He said, "I am the bread of life. Those who come after me will never hunger." Will never hunger. And so listen to what Jesus is doing. He said, "Okay, you want to compare me to Moses? But Moses had to keep feeding everybody for 40 days. The manna had to keep coming. He had to keep feeding them because everybody kept getting hungry. But this bread that you got in front of you, you will never be hungry, because you will always be satisfied. The bread box will never be empty, because when you have Jesus, that's what you need." Now listen, you can gain access to more and more. The purpose of him being here, the purpose of him having a relationship with us, is so that we can learn more about him. But the reality is that some of us stop reaching in that bread box. We believe Jesus. Okay. I believe he was the Son of God, but I'm not accessing that which he has given to us. You can be doing so much more. I can be doing so much more if we put in perspective the bread of life that has been given to us. He said, "Those who come after me will never be hungry." That does not mean that you won't have a need. That does not mean that you won't have something that you ask God for. That's not what he's talking about. He's saying that I came to give you salvation. Once I give you salvation, you don't have to keep chasing after salvation. You don't have to keep asking for salvation. You have it. You're guaranteed. You are sealed. You have everything that you need to take you into eternity. You don't have to do any tricks. You don't have to play any games. You have everything that you need. You are saved. You're not going to hell. You are on your way to heaven and spend eternity with me. But you got to trust him. So I'll take you back to that table as I sat there with an attitude, pushed my plate away a little bit, just a little bit. Not, you know, I don't think she noticed. I pushed it just a little. Didn't want to eat that sandwich. But then something clicked, because I saw her as she was maneuvering in the kitchen, getting everything settled, and as she prepared to sit down, and I thought about something. And this is the same thing that Jesus is telling the people in the text. It's that though the bread may not look like what you expect it to look like, because they didn't expect the Savior of the world to look like this. They didn't expect him to be from Nazareth and to be a carpenter's son. They didn't expect him to be like that. And so he said, "It don't look like what you want, but it's the best thing for you." And what helped him, and what he said, I need to help you with something. And I found out, I discovered that as I sat there at that table, and I looked to the kitchen, I began to consider the source of who gave me the bread. I'm like, okay, wait a minute. If she's giving me the bread, She's not giving me the bread because she's giving me something nasty. Because first of all, she wants to make sure that she has prepared a meal that she enjoys herself and that those who receive it enjoy as well. So why would she give me something that is not desirable? Why would she give me something that tastes bad? She gives me something that is good. And likewise, God will not give you something that you will say, this is not good for me. I don't like it. I don't want it. He wants to give you something that is good for you and good to you. So you got to consider the source, the bread. Jesus said, I am the bread. God has given me to you. And then lastly, my brothers and sisters, I did something. Because I began to think, as I sat at that table, I looked and I said, I considered the source. And I'm like, okay. Listen, Kayla, this is what I did. I picked up the sandwich and I took a bite. Rochelle, that was the best sandwich I ever had in my life. I'm like, whoa, hold on. I took another bite, David. That sandwich was good. And listen, it got gooder and gooder. I know that's not proper grammar, but the more I ate, the better it became. And listen, that's all the gospel is. That's all Christianity is. All it is, see, you would have missed it if you would not have tried it. And so all you got to do is just try God. And I guarantee you, the more you try him, the gooder and gooder it will be. Because you will discover how awesome he is, how wonderful he is. But some of us have not even tried to taste and see that the Lord is good. And some of us who claim to be Christian are so busy, stuck on the artificial preservatives and artificial flavors, the different types of religions, the different types of thoughts, the different types of this, that we're failing to take advantage of the plate that was set in front of us. That just simply says, believe. That's it. Believe. 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 How many of us in here believe? How many of us? I'm not looking for applause. How many believe? Because, listen, okay, put your hands down. Because if you believe that Jesus came from heaven, died for your sins, rose from the dead, and is coming back for you one day, if you believe that, why do we get tripped up on bills? Why do we get tripped up on haters? Why do we get tripped up on stupid stuff if we believe that? Why do we get tempted by cookies? Y'all don't miss the metaphor. Don't miss the metaphor. I'd rather eat that box of chocolate chip cookies than eat that sandwich, that good sandwich that's good for me, that I know it's good for. I'd rather eat something else. And that's what we do spiritually. Some of us physically. That's what we do. And we fail to do what Jesus told us to do. Just believe. Just believe. Now listen, this is not one of those messages that is meant to make you shout. But isn't that interesting that I even said that? Because how in the world does the gospel of Jesus Christ, the fact that he died for us, the fact that he rose on the third day, how in the world does that not shout a room full of Christians? Oh, but if we catered, if Breakthrough said we catering, we're bringing some food in, and it was the smell of pot roast and potatoes, and all that stuff started simmering from the back, and people, then your stomachs would rise up, and we would be eager to go eat. But my brothers and sisters, what's so special about this bread? This bread died for you. This bread rose on the third day. And this bread is coming back for you. And all you got to do, just try it. take the first bite and try it. Stand with me.